Well, I thought today that I'd talk a little bit about truth. And I've always been fascinated by words, sometimes the way they sound, their meanings and things. But I was interested the other day to read that the publisher Merriam-Webster has announced recently that it is taking the rare step of fully revising and reimagining one of its most popular dictionaries. It's going to have a fresh edition that adds over 5,000 new words. The 12th edition of Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary comes 22 years after the book's last hard copy update. They're doing this because languages are dynamic. New words are added as culture changes or as technology advances. Some words drop out of use and are forgotten. Other words don't change, but new meanings and usages are added to them. The word gay still means jovial or lively, although our current culture uses it euphemistically to mean something else. And another example, about 20 years ago, I attended PALCON at Southern Nazarene University. And while walking through a dormitory on the campus, I was appalled at a sign which read, "Wife beaters are only permitted in the gym." Now, I knew the campus culture had degenerated since my youth, but I didn't realize it had fallen off a cliff at a Christian college. Criminals in the SNU gym? Why are they allowed on campus at all? And how do you know who the wife beaters are? Well, when I mentioned the sign to another younger pastor, he laughed and he explained that a wife beater is a loose-fitting sleeveless shirt popularly worn when working out. Who knew? Who knew? And then a few years later, I'll never forget the look of shock and horror on my teenage kids' faces when I told them that I needed to put on my thongs before we walked to the beach. Well, how was I to know that thongs were no longer footwear? Well, the approved language was now flip-flops, which I always thought referred to pandering politicians. But even though language is dynamic, there are some words which have stood the test of time and have the same narrow meaning today as they've had for centuries. One of those words is the word truth. In Webster's 1828 dictionary, truth is defined as conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is, has been, or shall be. It emphasizes the importance of honesty and fidelity in speech and action. Nearly 200 years later, the current Merriam-Webster dictionary defines truth the same way, although it adds more granularity by listing the nuances of its usage. Interestingly, it also states that when capitalized, it refers to God. When one is speaking the truth, it means they are describing reality. They're describing things as they are. No pretense, no prevaricating, no waffling, no quibbling. Just presenting objective reality. So when Jesus says to his disciples in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," he's describing things as they are. And contrary to what the Ozark Mountain daredevils sing, the way to heaven doesn't come by raising a ruckus. It comes by believing that Jesus is the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's objective reality. The difficulty for Christian preachers and teachers, in fact, any Christian who wants to share their faith, is that our audiences don't always want to hear capital T truth. Or perhaps we're just afraid they don't want to hear capital T truth. We're mindful of the Apostle Paul's exhortation in Ephesians 4 to speak the truth in love. As a result, capital T truth often gets watered down, even to the point that it's no longer truth. We seem to prize kindness over veracity. We're concerned about hurting the feelings of friends, people that we love. In fact, I'll go further and say that many of the people attending churches in America today are more interested in leaving church after Sunday worship feeling good rather than feeling convicted. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "Pastor, you've gone past preaching. Now you're meddling." Well, it's said jokingly, But like all good humor, what makes it funny is the nugget of truth that it contains. The reason I want to bring you this message today is not because I want a medal, but there are two reasons. First, lately I've been feeling a sense of urgency that God is doing something wonderful in America, and that I have a responsibility as one called into his service to up my game. I need to pray more ardently and with greater purpose, to be more intentional as a witness for Christ, to not let those moments pass when I sense someone needs a listening ear and an encouraging word of truth, spoken compassionately and lovingly. I'll also tell you that I'm not alone. Other ministers that I've spoken to, some in other denominations, have stated that they're feeling this same sense of urgency, and perhaps you are as well. The second reason is that I'm reading and listening to reports by people whose professional work is to study world events and identify cultural trends. Many are reporting of a wholesale change in the attitudes of Americans, particularly young men, toward the traditional institutions that undergird Western civilization, including religion. God is working in their lives, and they're seeking the truth of who they are as human beings and who God is. They are rejecting the false promises of our progressive society and all the pretending that it requires. None of that is filling the void in their hearts that we know can only be filled by God. They're hungering for truth, and this hunger for truth includes rejecting liberal theology in all its forms and earnestly seeking traditional orthodoxy. These young people want to know God. They want to know Jesus. What an exciting time for the church. These young people have grown up continuously exposed to the rapid decay of societal values and the destruction of many of the institutions that have formed the foundation of Western civilization. I won't elaborate on the decay, but only focus on the exciting part. God is turning the hearts of young people away from that chaos and toward himself. And the pastors and ministry leaders that we are training at NBC are the men and women who will nurture these young people in the Christian faith. That places a tremendous responsibility on us to teach the word accurately and to demonstrate the life-changing, sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. NBC has been training pastors and ministry leaders since the fall of 1967. Our graduates have been faithfully proclaiming the gospel throughout the world and accomplishing important work for the kingdom. The college has faced numerous challenges throughout the years, but by God's grace and the remarkable leadership of godly men and women who have steadfastly held to the mission of equipping students with truth, NBC is well positioned to continue that legacy. We offer a sound and comprehensive program of Christian education, as well as a talented faculty and staff whose unapologetic passion for Christ and students bears witness to the truth of the gospel. I take God at his unchanging word. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me," I believe him. And when Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," I take that as a promise that he is both able and willing to fulfill. I'm also confident that so long as NBC continues to teach truth with love, God will continue to entrust us with the equipping of his called out ones. I attended seminary over 25 years ago at a time when many seminaries around the country were closing. They weren't attracting students, even though there was something of a revival sweeping the country in the 90s. Promise Keepers was growing and the Christian homeschooling movement was taking off, just to name two ideas of evidence. Increasingly, while many seminaries were closing, a few were growing. My class was the largest class to enter Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary in its history. The following year's class was larger, and the next one larger still. The schools that were closing were the ones teaching liberal theology. The seminaries that held to the traditional doctrines of Christian thought and strived to teach the word faithfully were struggling to meet a different demand. the demand of an increased student load. There's a lesson there. So let us, as faculty, staff, and students, not succumb to worldly pressures that tempt us to dilute truth in our teaching and preaching in order to tickle the ears of our listeners. Jesus never wavered in speaking truth, yet his words brought comfort as well as conviction. With him as our example and guided by Scripture and the Holy Spirit, let us fulfill our calling of teaching and preaching, capital T, truth and love. And let us not be afraid to wear thongs in a flip-flop world.